Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 27, attacked by Chandravega on the city of Puranjan, text 29. Trama vyakta gati bhungsva, lokam karma vinirmitam, yahi me pitana yukta, Prajanasam pranishyasi.
Prajanasam pranishyasi.
You. Avyaktagati. Whose movement is imperceptible. Bhungsva. Enjoy. Lokam.
In this world.
Karma vinirmitam.
Manufactured by fruit of activities.
One who.
He certainly.
May.
My.
Prittana.
Soldiers.
Yukta.
Helped by.
Prajanasham.
Annihilation of the living entities.
Pranishyasi.
You shall carry out without any hindrance.
Translation. This world is a product of fruit of activities. Therefore you may imperceptibly attack people in general. Helped by my soldiers, you can kill them without opposition. Purport. The word karma vinirmitam means manufactured by fruit of activities. This entire material world, especially in these days, is the result of fruit of activities. Everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. All this appears very nice for those who are simply engaged in sense gratification and who are ignorant of spiritual identity. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam 554, Nunam pramata kuru te yad indriya pritya apne no te nasadu manye yat atmanu yam asan api kresada asadeha. Those without knowledge of the spirit soul are mad after materialistic activities, and they perform all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. According to Risabdev, such activities are inauspicious because they force one to accept an abominable body in the next life. Everyone can experience that although we try to keep the body in a comfortable position, it is always giving pain and is subjected to the threefold miseries. Otherwise, why are there so many hospitals, welfare boards, and insurance establishments? Actually, in this world, there is no happiness. People are simply engaged, trying to counteract unhappiness. Foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness. Therefore, the king of the Yavanas decided to attack such foolish people imperceptibly by old age, disease, and ultimately death. Of course, after death, there must be birth. Therefore, Yavanaraj thought it wise to kill all the karmis through the agency of Kalakanya and thus try to make them aware that materialistic advancement is not actually advancement. Every living entity is a spiritual being, and consequently, without spiritual advancements, the human form of life is ruined. So the entire material world is karma vinirmitam, manufactured by fruit of activities. It is by the desire of the living being that this material world is coming into being. Of course, nothing can be achieved without the sanction and the arrangement of the Supreme Lord. Maya jaksena prakite suyate sacharacharam hetuna kunti ajagatvi parivartate. Krishna is the hetu, he is the cause in any condition in this material world. Sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes. But it is not that this material world is conducted according to Krishna's desire. He doesn't desire this arrangement. It is described that actually a corner of the spiritual world becomes covered by a cloud of illusory energy. and thus that the material world appears to be the material world, although in reality it is the spiritual world. So, and then, so the very foundation of the material world is based on fruit of desire and then followed by fruit of activity. Even in the Satya Yuga, when the living beings are all transcendentalists and are all eager towards attaining a spiritual goal in life, still the material world is an arrangement to fulfill fruit of desire. Then, as the yugas are degrading, more fruit of desire comes to the forefront. In the Treta Yuga, then, Varna Ashram is for the first time implemented to regulate all these fruit of desires. And in Dwapara Yuga, it is becoming more and more difficult to control the sinful tendencies or the fruitive tendencies. Because fruitive activity is by nature frustrating, and because fruitive activity is never fulfilled, therefore one is looking for a stronger dose of sense enjoyment each time. And ultimately, therefore, a fruitive mentality will lead to sinful activity, inevitably so. As soon as we start the path of sense gratification, it is not possible to maintain that sense gratification within the boundaries of goodness, right? Just when sense gratification alone is our aim and goal. Because we may very nicely project an image to the world, we are also nicely situated in goodness, but it is not possible to remain perfectly balanced just on the strength of a material resolution or a material realization. Only on the strength of a spiritual connection can we maintain the mode of goodness. That spiritual connection will give us the inspiration by which we can anchor ourselves within the mode of goodness. That is the nature. So, therefore, it is said, yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavatir akinshane sarvir gunes tata samasate sura harava bhaktisho kuto mahat guna mano ratina sati davatu bahi. It is said that one who is engaged in devotional service will develop all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not engaged in devotional service, even if he may have all good qualities, is surely to be led astray by the manorat, by the chariot of the mind. So that is the situation. So in this way, the fruit of activities become a network gradually going down into the lower modes of material nature and then becoming more and more complex. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is describing. The different yugas are different facilities where for making progress towards the ultimate goal of life. In the Satya Yuga, the pious living beings are receiving the human form of life, and all the less pious living beings are in the lower species of life. Then, as the yugas are degrading more and more, the threshold for entering into the human form of life is lowered. So in the Kali Yuga, living beings that are in themselves not at all qualified, not really having human standards, are still getting the human form of life, but then are described as pasubhirsa samana, as equal to animals. And that's what we see. An animalistic population that is engaging in the same activities that animals engage in. So this is the nature of the yugas as they're progressing So in this age there is special mercy, because in this age the human form is given to living beings who are not qualified. But then with it there are intense reactions to any transgression of Dharma in this age. And the entire world is overburdened by it. Where does it begin? Srila Prabhupada is describing how everyone is fully engaged in decorating the world with highways, motor cars, electricity, skyscrapers, industries, businesses, etc. And in this way, we are having an artificial arrangement of life. One might say, yes, but in the age of Kali, that seems to be more required, because nature shows a much more harsh face. In Satya Yuga, nature is very supportive. Everything grows very easily. Grains grow by themselves. No need to even till the fields. Grains are growing wild. There are ample of fruits everywhere. In other words, in Satya Yuga, it's not necessary to work. One can very easily get one's food just from collecting it from the forest. Nowadays, it is harsh. It is cold, it is rough, there are all kinds of... it is a battle to be out in nature. It's still possible. And even when one is living in a more natural way, one will find that it is more conducive for spiritual life. Prabhupada liked that English poet Cowper, who said that that God created the villages and man created the cities, and that the villages are in the mode of goodness and the villages and the cities in the mode of passion and ignorance. So all that is very true. And one day, we have to, as Krishna consciousness is becoming more and more established, return to a more natural way of life. Go away from all this technology, go away from all these artificial things in life, which Prabhupada describes are products from the dungeons of the demons. He calls factories dungeons of the demons. So, and he describes it as ugra karma, horrible work meant to destroy the world. So now we live in this world, we grew up in this world, our life is interwoven with so many of these artificial things that it's complex to live without. But even if that is possible, the question is if we should. We see that Srila Prabhupada is known as the Jet Age Parivrajika Acharya. He's known as the Acharya who was ready to make a recording of the Mahamantra, and who had full faith that that recording of the Mahamantra was transcendental. In India, sometimes this is argued, because Prabhupada was also giving the Gayatri Mantra through tape, through a tape. He had, it's because he had disciples all over the world, so it wasn't practical. They needed pujaris, they needed devotees to take care of the deities. Second initiation was a requirement. So Prabhupada would just send a tape with with the Gayatri mantras on it, and devotees could hear that. And so in India it has been argued many times that this is not bona fide, because it says in scripture that the mantra must be spoken in the right ear. So because it was not spoken in the right ear, therefore you are not initiated. Bakasura. Quacking so loudly, so proud, with all the knowledge that we have, making so much noise. but actually not appreciating that the very purpose of all that knowledge is simply loving devotional service to the Supreme Light. And as Srila Prabhupada just selflessly embodied that. So he was one who was ready to use the energy, the modern energy. So yes, but a recording? So no, it is also mentioned in Bhagavatam. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam that that in the forest, when we are calling out the holy name, that holy name is echoing of the trees, and that echo of the trees is counting as the chanting of the trees. So in the same way, we can see these electronic media as a means of creating an echo. Well, it's just an echo, of whatever is spoken. And that also counts. So in this way, one can give some Shastric foundation to the understanding that recordings are bona fide and transcendental. And of course, now it has become standard to us. What is a Hare Krishna kitchen without a kirtan? That's where all the kirtans are blasting in any kitchen in the Hare Krishna movement. It's a fixed ingredient. It has to be there. Otherwise, it's not a kitchen, Very important. You thought stoves would be enough. No. Sound system, something must be there. It's very essential. Anyway, so this material, once there was a discussion between the poet Allen Ginsberg and Srila Prabhupada, and Allen Ginsberg, he liked to challenge Prabhupada sometimes a little bit, which in itself was interesting. I find, if I look at the conversations, I find the ones with Allen Ginsberg interesting because Allen Ginsberg sometimes asked the questions that devotees who are more submissive wouldn't ask. But you think about these questions, you wouldn't ask. So he's asking sometimes questions that we think about but would never dare to ask. Anyway, so Allen Ginsberg was saying in many religions, they're not accepting any images of the Lord because they basically claim that the image is a form made of matter. So how is it possible to worship spirit through matter? And that is like a theological problem which is being presented. You're worshipping forms of the Lord, but how is it possible to worship spirit through matter? So he was thinking he would have a nice debate, and Prabhupada simply said, matter does not exist. Finished. Even before the debate started, it was already over. And that was like knockout in the first round, on the first punch. He didn't even see it coming. And he was sort of getting his boxing gloves ready, and boom, he was out. Matter does not exist. That is a fact. Brahmana pratistaham. Everything is resting on Brahman, says the Bhagavad Gita. Everything in this world is spiritual. Everything. It is just that this corner of the spiritual world is covered by the illusory energy. That is all. So, if one develops that vision again, then everything follows into perspective. But that spiritual nature is covered by an illusory energy. That's all. Right? And we have to see below, we have to see that spiritual identity. So even when we go back to living in nature, and still, nature is cruel. Jivo, jivasya jivanam. One living being is food for the other. It is intense. Even in such a yuga, it's not that all the animals are vegetarian, obvious. It's only in Kali Yuga that they eat meat. No. So even in such a yuga, there are still lions, tigers, that sort of. So such a yuga is not that satya. That is so completely goodness that everything is just very peaceful and idyllic. No, it's still there's still elements of ignorance, elements of passion. That is the nature of the material. It's not sort of paradise, like in the biblical paradise with Adam and Eve living in Satya Yuga. How wonderful. No. So the material world is due to the illusory energy is manifesting this element of time. And this element of time means that everything comes into being, everything grows, everything reaches a state of flourishing, everything gives off some byproducts, everything begins to dwindle, and everything ceases to exist. These are the sat avikar, the six transformations of material existence. And that is inevitably an inherent feature of life under all conditions, even under the ideal perfect utopian conditions of Satya Yuga. Right? You couldn't get closer to utopia than Satya Yuga.
But
still, there is old age. It cannot be avoided. Old age is always there. So therefore, an intelligent person is not going to invest in trying to make this world more and more comfortable, more and more suitable to fulfill our desires. An intelligent person is focusing on the eternal relationship with Krishna. And invest in that eternal relationship minimizes the material needs in terms of the amount of time and energy that we have to spend for these material things. Intelligence means that with the least effort and the least time, we manage to fulfill our material needs. That is intelligence. That principle is completely the opposite of the Western world. But in traditional India, not in India today, but in traditional India, it was like that. Keep things as simple as possible. That was appreciated. Now, of course, that is gone. And with it, we are covering the world more with a network of fruitive activities. And then Prabhupada speaks about the verse Cheto Darpanam Marjanam of Sixastak, and he's explaining how he said the mirror is covered by the dust. And it said, and now so much dust is just clouds of dust are being thrown up in the air by all the fruitive activities that are going on. It's like a fever now. More complex, more and more. And what are we trying to do? So this movement has to develop its simple identity. We can be a movement that is, for the sake of a preaching mission, we can interact with the material energy. But then one has to live very simple. Because otherwise, in the course of using the material energy, we become overwhelmed by it. Even in Yukta Vairagya, The idea of Yukta Vairagya is this, is that you can take products of Ugra Karma and engage them in the service of Krishna, but they're still Ugra. My example is a car. And I mean, when I drive for a long time, in the first hour I'm still a human being, but in the second hour I've become part of the car. And if some idiot gets in front of my wheels, I want a button with a flamethrower. I just want this one button and burn him to ashes. Right? Some idiot gets in front of my car. And it's like, whereas I'm a vegetarian. I mean, I'm basically trying to be in the mode of goodness. But somehow or other, when I get in that machine, I change after a while. It does something. It just brings out a whole different part of the nature. So that's interesting. Because the machine itself is still Ugra. It is still an Ugra machine. It's still an explosion motor. It's still squeaking rubber tires. It's still got these nice roo bars in the front for a reason. They look beautiful, stainless steel shining. I mean, you can see it right behind you. Look at the thing, it's a serious, it's just out there. Look at that bar. It's beautiful. It's meant to kill. It's made. It's a weapon. It's made to kill innocent kangaroos that are just hopping around, in the place of their birth. And suddenly some huge piece of metal comes flying out of nowhere. These kangaroos are everywhere on the road. What's going on? So, just see. All that development. And then I have an example, it's not an Australian example, but it's a European example, that in North Europe, in Sweden, they make really good cookies, very tasty. And in Spain, they make galletas, very nice galletas, very, very sweet, right? Cookies also, Spanish cookies. So every day in the morning, a truck leaves from Scandinavia and brings Scandinavian cookies to Spain. And every morning in Spain, a truck is leaving, or a few trucks, leaving for Scandinavia to bring cookies from Spain. And you wonder, is this really necessary, that these trucks are driving? Why don't they just exchange recipes? But it is because of fruitive intent, because we want to make the money, and therefore, I want to be rich, and for that we have to cover the world with big roads, all covered in tarmac, and just pollute the air we breathe, and all this activity going on, because some people want to be rich. I want to expand and expand and expand. And then we all get rich. The whole world gets rich. And we're all rich. And then we get cancer. Cancer is rampant now. Everyone's getting it. Not everyone, but many are getting it. But our whole lifestyle is a cancer. Humanity is like a cancer. We're living like a cancer. Just expanding, expanding, expanding. It's just like irrational expansion. Just so that is the situation. What can we do? So Srimad Bhagavatam is like a cold shower. It is sober. It is giving us a very sober vision of reality, a very simple approach. Somehow or other, live close to nature and practice spiritual life. And immediately it helps. It's like if you live in a nice brick house with a thermostat and everything, very comfortable. But if you live outside in a smaller hut, right, less comfortable. But if there is a big storm in the big house, you're not very serious about it. But if you're living in a little hut, you're on your knees praying, oh, please don't blow the roof off, please don't let it blow down. So actually, that more natural way of life makes us pray. And now, why would we pray? We push a button. We don't need God. We can solve the problems ourselves. Even if there's no rain, no problem. We don't need to make sacrifice. We have irrigation. No worries. In this way, the more artificial the world that we create, the more we become disconnected from the Supreme Light, the more we start to rely on our own strength, and the more we are becoming like Hiranyakasipu. More and more. They were proud of our strength, proud of our ability. So fruitive activities bring out a demoniac mentality. How to become a demon, right? How to become a demon for a dummy. Or 7 steps to become a demon. I mean, we can give you the book. No problem. It's quite easy. It can be done. Just start engaging in fruitive activities. Material progress. And Prabhupada would question it. In New York, the cars, whoosh, whoosh, he would imitate the sound. He said, they are racing at neck-breaking speed, but they are not making any progress. Where are they going? Here, there, where? Not making progress. Where are they going? To work. Where's that going? Not making any progress. Oh. Yeah. So when, oh when? And probably we are not voluntarily going to return to the land. Most likely that won't be the case. Probably it will take a disaster or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 before we actually go back. It's rough. City life is nice. Clean. Put your hands in the dirt. Little cows. They kick, they smell. Yeah, you also start to smell like a cow. Yeah. Dust. You have to breathe the dust in the field. Yeah. You sneeze now, but you'll sneeze more. You're out behind the bullocks plowing because the legs throw up dust. Farm life is not so easy. It sounds romantic, but it's tough. The ladies have to go get firewood for cooking. You see that, and the villages don't walk in. Tough. But all those things are the austerity that are very directly related to Krishna. And such austerities will actually make us more pious. And we see that. We see that in the smaller villages, people are much softer than in the cities. In the cities, people have become hard. Someone collapses on the ground, everyone keeps on walking because you don't want to get you don't want to get entangled. You don't know what's going to happen. Some stranger, this, that, something, But somebody will deal with it.
Meanwhile, nobody's dealing with it. So, what to say? In that village life, we see a better quality of life. But because we've become so estranged, it's hard for us. And for preaching, we don't need to now. We use fire to fight fire. In Australia, they know you burn a strip of bush, controlled burning, clear it first on the side, then build that strip so that the fire cannot pass. Fight fire with fire. Fight computers with computers. Fight cars with cars. Fight technology with technology. That's what we are doing when we're using all these things. I hope that's what we're doing. I hope so. I hope we're not fooling ourselves and telling ourselves that we're using these things to drive out the ukkha karma from the world. And meanwhile, we're just trapped in the net like everyone else. Anyway, even trapped in the net, you can still chant Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any questions? Any comments?
The foolish people accept unhappiness as happiness.
Yeah. I mean, well, we think that all these material things are happiness. We think driving in a car is just very happy. And Prabhupada is pointing out it's very dangerous. You're just traveling at a dangerous speed, and we know one moment of inattention and boom, it's over. Right? You close your eyes just for a fraction of a second. Happened to me. I don't know if it happened to you. Happened to me. The temple.
I was a passenger.
Huh?
I was a passenger.
You were the passenger, someone else. Well, I was, it was Ekadasi. And I didn't sleep much. And the temple president called me in the office and said, "Do you have a clean insurance record?" I said, "Yeah, never had anything." He said, "Oh, great, we've got this BMW someone donated." And we were in Belgium. He said, "Can you drive it across the border to Holland? Because it's cheaper there. The insurance is cheaper there. You register the car and insure it there." I said, "Yeah, no worries." I really didn't close my eyes very long. It was a fraction of a second. But then I smashed into the car in front of me. So I was braking, but it was too late. Bang. And the man in the car was crying and crying and crying. And he just said, "My car, my car, my car." I said, "Well, are you all right, sir? You're not injured, anything?" He said, no, my car, my car. I said, "Well, fortunately, you are all right. Fortunately, it's only your car." And then again, "My car, my car, my car." He cried a lot, but not as much as the temple president. when I told him about the BMW. Yeah, this can happen. Odyssey, dangerous day to travel. Once upon a time, maybe people actually followed that they didn't travel on the Odyssey. Why would they? It's not such a need to travel. Now we travel, travel, travel. But for preaching, all right, we can do. But are we traveling to preaching, or are we preaching to travel? We can ask ourselves such questions. So the illusion of driving a car, which can be very idyllic, playing soft music, comfy, seated in a nice chair, and actually playing with death. That's an example. Questions? No questions. No problem. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Karma karma.